On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Down to the sub, the Hollywood of the South, I've got those dumb things as well. Hollywood of the South Pacific, we welcome back to, would you say your old home? To your old stopping ground, the comfort and the warmth and the moisture of the armpit that is the BFM studio. Fabian Fanboy, good morning.
Hi, Mike. It's very great to be here. Great to see you. Great to meet you, Tess, in person. Yeah,
lovely. Happy birthday to Tess this
morning. Happy birthday, Tess. I did note that, and then I forgot.
Didn't bring her anything?
No.
Oh, thank you.
Just saying, it would be nice. There's Rick. Hi, Rick. Come on. Go say hi to Fabian's here, too. Look, he's
hey,
here. There's Rick.
Hi.
It's one of those breakfast shows.
It's a Christmas party.
We press on to your segment, though, and then because that's what you're here for, as a professional an assessor of the world of cinema and TV.
I'm not here to wax lyrical about the old days or anything.
No,
oh, BFM. The waves of emotion that come over you when you walk in here. It's pretty great. Anyway, so yeah.
And those fruit flies are pretty awesome.
Let's not tell the listeners about the fruit flies.
Okay, anyway, so
I'll tell you this. A lot of fruit flies in America. Like, I deal more with, like, fruit flies and gnats than you deal with, like, a mosquito or a regular house fly.
Oh, I hate fruit flies. I hate fruit flies. Yeah. They're so wispy and weird.
You got through those fires all right, though. I'm glad about that. That must have been quite a terrifying time.
That was a nutty time. Some spectacular sunsets, though.
As you said at the time. What about movies, though? Let's talk movies.
So there's a couple of movies coming out this week that I have not seen that are big movies. Bumblebee, the new
Transformers spin-off.
Yeah, which people are saying, like, hey, you know, $6 billion later and five big crazy films that nobody likes later, we finally got a Transformers movie that is good.
Because it's the only character that actually had any character.
It's true, but, like, I haven't seen it, but from what the trailer's like, they look like they've really gone full 80s on the design of the... Because it's a prequel, it's set in the 80s.
Okay.
And some of the Decepticons kind of like, no, that's what an actual Transformer looked like in my hand.
Yeah.
With the color scheme and kind of the finish on them and stuff. It just looks like they pulled back on the overly
that's
kind of
smart
complex.
If they've done that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So that's out. And Aquaman's out on Boxing Day.
Aquaman?
I left LA the day before the LA press screening, and then I got here the day after the New Zealand press screening. So I have not seen it, but I'm super excited. I think it looks awesome. Tim Morrison, digitally de-aged, so on board with that. You know, he plays Aquaman's dad?
No.
Yeah, and Jason Momoa is like a very vocal Once Were Warriors fan.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a Once Were Warriors reference in it.
Really?
Surely it's got nothing to do with eggs, because no one outside New Zealand gets that joke.
Well, I don't know, you know, it's just, if he's a big fan, you know. Interesting reference, though. I know that there was talk, there was harkers being done on the red carpet.
Yeah, yeah. Jason Momoa, he's Hawaiian, and he loves the shared cultural background that the Maori have with the Hawaiians. And when he was down here, he got very into that and hung out at Maori TV and stuff like that. He's cool. I love him.
Yeah, I think it's really cool as well. I know someone that went to the movie the New Zealand screening who thinks he's particularly cool, but haven't heard a lot of chat about it afterwards, which means she obviously thought it was very, very cool and was quite enamored by it, but I haven't really heard her talk that much about it or was a little bit disappointed by it, maybe.
It's getting quite divisive reviews. Some people are saying this is the craziest, nuttiest, awesomest superhero film of the year, and other people are like, nah, it doesn't work.
For my first toy that I ever had, I think one of the first toys I can remember, I'm trying to remember what your toy guy name was.
Mattel?
No, your toy guy name, remember?
Oh, Trip Toyman.
Trip Toyman.
Short-lived Trip Toyman, toy reviews from Trip Toyman, yeah.
Was an Aquaman doll.
Wow.
A Shazam doll and an Aquaman doll, the first ones I had. And so Aquaman for me has always been orange top, blonde hair for some reason, and sort of, you know, scaly leggings.
He's gotten a few reinventions in the comics over the year, but you got to credit this film with not being perceived as ridiculously as you might have thought it would be 10 years ago. People were like, an Aquaman movie, like it was an Entourage joke for so long.
Man is a fish.
Yeah. And so, excited for that. There is one film I have seen that's like a big budget, classy sort of studio style thriller that's actually going on to Netflix.
Yeah.
Starring Sandra Bullock. called Bird Box.
Oh, and I've seen this. I've seen the ad for this. What's this all about?
It's people keep comparing it to A Quiet Place because it's a end of the world thriller involving the senses, in that it's a mysterious force suddenly appears that if you see it, you violently kill yourself straight away.
Oh, pleasant.
And it's only ever portrayed in the film as like rustling leaves and wind in the trees. So it's basically the exact same plot as M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening, but a good film. And Sandra Bullock's great in it. And so you have to wear blindfolds to walk around in this, you know, to avoid it. And it's mainly about these people holed up in the house. It's great cast. John Malkovich in there.
He's got a good face for a blindfold too.
And yeah.
He's got a face like the front of a train.
He does. And he's played a lot of novelty roles over the last few years. This is the first time I've sort of seen him just be just a great actor again. You know, it's sort of taken almost a decade or two for the whole being John Malkovich thing to kind of die down.
Do you know my favourite John Malkovich film?
The Jewel Thief one?
No, the one when he's at the French one. What's that? He did years ago.
Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh, a movie.
He's amazing.
What a movie.
That.
Yeah. One of my favourites. Don't remember the name of it, obviously, but one of my favourites.
And so, yeah, I think that's on Netflix from tomorrow. And it's you know, Netflix films are so weird. I worked in a video store. That's where it all started for me. The straight-to-video movie was always like, you know, the scum movie.
Yeah.
And then there was a big gap between that and films that came out at the movies. Netflix films, they're neither, you know.
Yeah.
They're better than a straight-to-video movie, but they're not quite a theatrical film, although they are taking some big swings. And this is probably the most, like, I saw it on the big screen at a festival in L.A., and it played beautifully. It was a great, I think it's better than A Quiet Place.
Yeah, I enjoyed A Quiet Place to a point.
The minute you start thinking about that film, you know, they should have called it Fart and You Die, you know?
Yeah. Or just, you know, it was a little just... It'd be fun to make, I guess, if that's you and your wife are making a movie.
It's just
like, and the monsters are really cool, but they were almost too cool. Like, that's a really excellent concept. It was called Bird Box.
I read it.
Yeah.
Now, why is it called Bird Box?
Because birds sense when this force is coming. Because obviously you can't look at it to see that it's coming.
What about other animals? So do they have, like, insects? Do their eyes...
Well, the birds start.
You hate yourself when I ask these questions.
The birds start singing.
Yeah.
No, it's nice experiencing it in person.
Yeah.
The birds start singing. So this it's the canary in a coal mine kind of metaphor where you've got some birds in a cage, and if they start
in this case.
Yes. If they start freaking out, then you know to put your blindfold on.
Right. Oh, okay. So they're not blindfolded the whole.
Well, they're inside this house, and it's kind of it's one of those films where it's like, okay, it's the end of the world, and then a dozen people have been thrust
bloody
together.
End of the world, eh?
Yeah, it's like culturally, collectively, it's our biggest fantasy. It's like we all want the world to end or something.
And we all think, do you have the gumption to make it through the end of the world?
Yeah.
Well, are you the one that will make it through the end of the world to start the new world? Will that be you?
To me, the theme of 2018 is.
What a fucked up year. Well, that's my theme.
Individual one exists as an argument against compassion. And that's kind of the debate that seems to be happening in the culture right now. Are you hardline and being, you know, no, we're not nice because we're not nice as a species, or are we a compassionate species? And bird box
kindness.
Is kind of...
Kindness is the word that won the public address word of the year this year.
Yeah,
kindness.
Bird Box delves into that, you know. John Malkovich represents the no, we need to survive, so we need to be harsh and we need to not help other people. But then there's other characters who represent a compassionate approach that at the risk of your own, you know?
I heard something quite... I was listening to a podcast 2 days ago, which was quite sensational in what the guy was saying. Sir Penrose was saying, and about that he believes compassion and kindness might actually be part of the way that we survive. In a roundabout way, it's quite bizarre. It's the opposite. It's the way that we truly brutally survive is actually genuinely through kindness and compassion. But that's a different thing.
Well, everything humanity have achieved came about from cooperation, you know.
Yeah,
and I think it's the only thing we've got.
And disaster and catastrophe bring us together in ways that we where we put all the individualism aside. It's sort of bizarre.
Yeah,
really
cool. Just one other film.
Okay, but back
seen.
To for, yeah, shit.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah.
A sequel to Wreck-It Ralph.
Full on.
Have you seen it?
No, I just don't. I know that Wreck-It Ralph was pretty full on.
Yeah. And that was 6 years ago. Kind of like, why did it take so long? But this one is, you know, they get a modem and they drive past Facebook and stuff like that. It's not quite as mind-blowing as you want it to be, but it's a very nice big Disney film that will put a smile on your face. It's
Will kids understand what's going on with all the...
Yeah. It's a very kid-friendly film, but the
says, things... says the old guy thinking that kids don't know what the internet is.
It's surprisingly grown up in its themes. It's sort of about how Ralph wants to just live how he lives, but his friend Vanellope, the little girl racer voiced by Sarah Silverman, wants to like go further, and so it's kind of creates tension in their friendship. It's kind of quite salient. But I'm just on podcasts though. Can I give a podcast recommendation?
Yes.
I'm so obsessed with it. Do you remember Carlton Crisp?
Yes.
It's kind of like the American version of Carlton Crisp. It's this podcast called Doughboys, and it's these two guys, and they review chain restaurants and snack food, and it's just the best thing in the world. I'm so obsessed with it. And they're really funny. They're two kind of improv guys. If you're looking for a great podcast about junk food, Doughboys.
Fabian Fanboy, thank you very much. Lovely to see you today. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Great to see you guys. And, Merry Christmas.
And cuddles to one, cuddles to all this Christmas. And nice to have you home.
Cheers, Mike.
And we'll speak to you next year back in Hollywood.
Indeed.
Right.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
As far as birds go,